Hi, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I'm the host of the Sports Psychology Hour here in Kansas City. It airs every Sunday morning on 810 WHB. It's www.810whb.com. If you listen online, it's a sports psychology show. I've been on the air for 33 years, one of the first trained sports psychologists in the country. I've been in practice for 43 years. And welcome to our live stream event. Over the past few years, in addition to my show, we've launched the Sports Psychology Hour as a podcast and now via live stream. So go to my website, which is winnersunlimited.com. Click on the podcast tab at the top of the page, and you can listen to close to 10 years of episodes of my show. That's winnersunlimited.com. And now we're doing a new series of conversations focusing on coaches and athletes in youth sports, high school sports. And today I'm privileged to have with us Nate Lejeune. He's the National Director of Training for UpToUs Sports. He's down in New Orleans. So Nate, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Dr. Andrew, thank you so much for letting me be here. And let me just pause and commend you. You hit the last name right out of the park. You hit it perfectly.
Well, there's a street in Miami Beach called Lejeune. So I've seen that before. I used to drive on that quite a bit. So thank you. I'm one for one tonight. Okay. So let's talk about what UpToUs Sports is and what you all do. And let's get into that and the programs that you provide, and we'll expand into discussions. My interest in youth sports and parents and coaches and all the wacko stuff that goes on with youth sports today.
Yeah, thank you again for letting me be here. UpToUs Sports, we're a national nonprofit, and our mission really is to engage, train, and support sports coaches to transform youth programs and communities. And we do that in a variety of different ways. We have an AmeriCorps coach placement program where we're actually finding young men and women from the community who want to serve back in their community to give a year of service to serve as a coach. And we take care of them throughout that entire process. We train them, we onboard them, they get a living stipend. And then at the completion of that service, they get an education award so we can help them if they're working their way through school or wanting to go back to school, or if they're just in school and they just need a better way to pay for that. We give them an opportunity to get back to their programs, get back to their community, and still be able to take care of themselves that way. We also have an amazing VISTA program where it's another AmeriCorps program where we're placing young adults in programs really to work on the admin side of things, to create systems for sustainability. And even in our coach program, we go beyond just the sports. We of course, want to give them great tools and techniques. We want to give them experience. We want to let them get hands-on experience with the young athletes, but we also have a career readiness program where we're thinking about life after UpToUs Sports, life after their time with us. And so what are the skills that they need? What are the connections they need? What are the opportunities that they need so that when they're ready to step into their professional career, whether that's in sports or out of sports, they're fully ready to do that. And they've got that circle of influence. They've got those skills built up. And then my favorite, and it's the department that I get to lead, and that's training. And the training that we do with coaches, both that are in our internal coach program and programs outside of that. And basically, Dr. Andrews, what we do is we come in there, we help them understand, they know how to coach sports. They know how to play sports. They have youth programming, but how can we harness really intentionally the power of sports to teach those life skills, all of those things that we know better after playing sports? And I actually want to pause really quick and just ask you if you can share, and maybe your listeners have heard this story, but it'll be the first time I get to hear it. What's something, Dr. Andrew, that you know better today because of a mentor or because of a coach that was in your life, and who was that coach?
Well, that's a great question. I've had so many people whom I've had the privilege to work with, so many great coaches. I would say, quite frankly, the first coach who hired me was Bob Timmons. He was the University of Carla Coffey, the women's track coach of Bob Timmons at the University of Kansas, where the women's and men's track and field and cross-country coaches. And Bob Timmons took a chance on me to hire me to work with the University of Kansas track team in December 1981 for $5 a day, one day a week, as I started my career. And getting to know Timmy, as everyone called him, he was a very short man. For those people who don't know, Bob Timmons was Jim Ryan's high school coach in Wichita. Jim Ryan was the first high school to break the 4-minute mile. And then they went to the University of Kansas together, and Timmy coached there until the 80s, 1980s, for quite a while, had dozens NCAA champions and qualifiers, and just a wonderful man. But He believed in me and I believed in him. He gave me a chance to do my job, to work with the athletes there. And we had tremendous success because he gave me the opportunity and the belief. I remember when I made a presentation in November of 1981 to the coaches at the University of Kansas, the only coaches that showed up were the track coaches and the volleyball coach. And Coach Timmons, and I was so honored to be in his presence, knowing who he was. And when I talked about 20 minutes, he stood up and said, "Young man, if you can do what you say you can do, I'm as excited as I was when Jim Rine broke the 4-minute mile." And lo and behold, I had a tremendous amount of success at KU because of him, because taking a chance with me.
That's such an amazing story. Thank you for sharing. But this idea that a coach had such power that really launched you into what would become your career and your purpose and your life mission, that opportunity to step into something and that belief in you. And there's a real power that comes when a coach believes in a young athlete. Like the transform, if that's all we help coaches do, and we can help coaches do more, and sports has more power to do more, but if all coaches do at the end of their time with an athlete is help that athlete know that someone in your life believes in you, it catapults them, right? It catapults them into new levels, new journeys, into new opportunities. They're willing to take safe risks. They're willing to try on new things. And the impact of that, right, what leaves its fingerprint all over people's lives and their purpose and what they're trying to accomplish. That's what Uptown Sports does. We just intentionally surround coaches with training and resources that they need so that they can take what they already know. They already know how to play their sport. Their sport has probably left, and coaches in their past have probably left their impact on them. And so we show them how to harness that power really intentionally to teach those other life skills that connect with those sports skills, those physical skills. And now we're really creating like a holistic athlete that not only is physically healthy or physically sees themselves getting better, or maybe even a top-tier sport athlete, but also has those life skills, those character skills, those SEL skills that go with them into life.
You know, in addition to what I just shared, I had the privilege to work with so many athletes throughout my 43 years. When I started my 40th year of work, I did my radio show talking about the 40 years I was in practice. And one of the people who called the show was Paul Titus, who was a high jumper in the University of Kansas track team, who at the Big 8 championships in his last outdoor meet, back then it was the Big 8, not the Big 12. He high jumped 7 feet for the first time in his life. And he called him and says, "Dr. Jacobs, this is Paul Titus." And I hadn't talked to Paul in years. He goes, "I just want to thank you for what you've done, because not only did you help me with my high jumping, but I've applied those principles to my life." And I think that's what we do. You know, that's what coaches do. I mean, in many ways, what I do is a mental coach, but it's the same thing. And that's where, Nate, I think the reason I do this show is to get the word out about programs like yours and things that go on to help people get better. Because one of the concerns I have is just the verbal abuse that goes on with coaches today. Now, the physical abuse as well. So, you know, Safe Sport tries to deal with a lot of that, but the verbal abuse that goes on, it's all over the place. I see it in my office with gymnasts, with swimmers, with baseball players across the board. I mean, every sport. I get these coaches whose egos become so big that it's about them, not about the athletes. I want to get your thoughts on that. What do you see with the training that you're doing and working with young people and coaches as well? What you seem to encounter along those ways?
Yeah, Dr. Andrew, I was watching some of your past podcasts, and I seen that this was a common theme that a lot of people on a lot of different levels are seeing. And I often say, and I don't know that this is, you know, my own saying. Maybe I've heard it somewhere else, and I've just sort of made it my own. But we accept things socially in sports that we would not accept anywhere else in our lives. If I'm walking in the grocery store with my 2-year-old granddaughter and some random stranger walks up and begins to yell and scream and berate her in the middle of a grocery store, I'm not a violent person. I'm going to protect my grandbaby, right? There's going to be a confrontation. We're going to have a conversation and you're going to back off. But yet in sports, we're like, well, that's just hard coaching. And what we see is that we usually coach the way we were coached. We parent the way that we were parented. We handle the relationships in our lives the way the relationships were handled when we were young kids or young athletes kind of growing into this sport. And there is this stigma that you must be hard, that kids and athletes are too soft. And so in coaching, you have to be hard, you have to be strict, you have to be rigid. And you do that first, and then you slowly will build the relationship and maybe soften up at the right times. And what we're finding is that's actually, research doesn't back that up at all. What we're actually seeing, and maybe you know this research, that in negative, high-stress environments, an athlete's literal vision gets smaller. They are a worse athlete in a negative, high-stress environment than a positive environment. It is having physical, biological reverse effects than a coach is wanting to achieve. And what we're seeing, though, is that coaches just don't have either A, the tools, the resources, the techniques, the strategies to implement in those moments. Oftentimes, a coach is often triggered themselves. And so when someone as an adult is in a high stress environment for whatever the reason may be, maybe it's competition, maybe it's in a frustration in a practice, maybe it's something that's built up over long term, it's really difficult to sort of calm yourself down. And especially in youth sports, we know that the number of athletes per coach is usually a very large number. It can be, at least in some situations. And so maybe a coach doesn't have someone else that can step in and they can calm themselves down. And so we really, we attack it sort of in a couple of different ways. Number one, through our coach program and through our training and through the programs that we work with, we're finding those young coaches. Usually these are young athletes who professional sports may not be an option, or they're working their way through college, or maybe they're not, an injury maybe is going to keep them from pursuing those athletic dreams. We're finding those young coaches who are still passionate about the sports, who want to give back to their community, and we're getting them from a ground level, and we're getting them some of those foundational pieces. And what we watch all the time, Dr. Andrew, and I experienced this because I actually was a coach at Uptown Sports. I quit my dream job, sold my house, moved to the city of New Orleans. We didn't have a place to live. We didn't have jobs. And I started getting involved in my community. And an organization hired me to be a coach at Uptown Sports. And I went through my first training as an Uptown Sports coach. I'd been in youth development as a youth pastor for like 10 years, but I never really like coached and seen things done this way. And the moment that I experienced as a coach going through this training, I've watched hundreds, if not thousands, of coaches go through. And it is that moment, that aha moment of, wait a second, what my kids are going through, what they're exhibiting, what they're showing me with their behavior is what I did as a young athlete. It's what I'm going through. I'm from these communities. I've experienced maybe this violence, or I've experienced these obstacles in my way. And oh my goodness, this is why I enjoy sports. So for me, my story is one of a single mother home and a lot of physical, emotional trauma. And I, for a long time, I just knew that sports was a safe place. At school, in the community, I was the poor kid who had hand-me-down clothes and hand-me-down shoes in the single mom's house. But on the court, on the baseball diamond, on the football field, I was in full control of my story. And then as an adult, I go through this training, and I'm like, this is why. These are the therapeutic elements that sports gave me that helped me traverse and go through a lot of those really heavy emotional things that I was going through. And so through our training, when we show coaches, hey, this is what's happening to you biologically. There are no bad kids. No one wakes up in the morning and goes, hey, today's the day I'm going to mess up Coach Andrew's day. I'm going to show up and I'm going to make his life miserable. Everybody wants to be successful. What that behavior is telling us is that there's something going on with them. There's a story underneath the surface. As a coach, I don't always need to know that story. I just need to know there is a story. And when I know that and I understand biologically what's happening, then I can be more patient, more kind, more understanding. I can create different pathways for those athletes. And so what we're seeing is young coaches are having those aha moments. They're learning the strategies to not only apply to the young athletes that they're serving, but they can apply to them themselves. And Dr. Andrew, we use this language as adult, as parents. Like, my kids are not kids anymore. They're grown men. But in our community at Uptown Sports, we use this language, which is really important, this trauma-sensitive language. I use it as a parent. I use it as an adult. I now have a two-year-old granddaughter, and I'm using these techniques. We have one called TLC Praise. Tell it, Label it, celebrate it. Giving kids labels, words that you're giving them. They're not just good. You didn't do awesome. No, no, you hit that ball really well. And I've seen you work really hard. That's called training. And so we're doing these things and we use them amongst ourselves. And so we're seeing coaches do the same for themselves. And we're seeing them take it back into their communities, take it back into their other jobs, take it back into their colleges and use this language amongst themselves. And we're trying to break that cycle. That took you a long scenic route. Sometimes we can do that. But they're breaking that cycle of just because I was coached this way doesn't mean I have to continue to coach this way. And you can coach hard and be rigid in the structure of how you coach without using foul language or screaming or berating. You'll often hear us say, no lines, lectures, or laps. Now, that's a sort of a personal saying, but I don't want to sit there and make kids write lines. That's not going to help them learn the skills that they need to make better, healthier behavior decisions. I don't want them to get lectures. Lectures, you know, kids have an attention span. I think it's 10 seconds nowadays. And so a long lecture is, they're just going to tune you out. They're not going to take away the things you want them to take away. And then my favorite is laps. And I know that that's going to be a bit of a hot button topic maybe, but for a lot of sports, especially baseball, for instance, running is part of the culture. You run before practice, you run when you mess up, you run. But what we're trying to help coaches perceive or look at from a different perspective is if, as a young athlete, I am now connecting physical activity with discipline, I'm not going to love it. I'm not going to fall in love with it. I want to create young athletes that fall in love with being physically active. And I can do that by not using activity as a punishment.
Let me jump in right there because you just brought up something. As we were talking, I was thinking of sharing this, and I'm going to share it now. I've got a college baseball player that I work with who's just a wonderful young man. I've worked with him since he was in high school. His dad was his high school coach. They made it to the state championship game. Wonderful people. He's at a junior college. You know, he's got a full ride at a big-time SEC school next year. But the coach where he's at is abusive, is verbally abusive, any coach I've ever heard of at the collegiate level. And when you talked about running, they lost 7 games in a row. So they then had to run I think it was half miles as a discipline. Every game they lost, they had to run another half mile. I'm like, so you're going to teach these kids to hate running instead of making running part of training that's going to be a positive thing. And this guy's, his language is disgusting. And that brings up this topic to me. Where does mental toughness become mental abuse? Nate, yeah. So what would you say about that? Because there's the mental toughness, you know, we talk about soft kids today. They don't push themselves enough. Everything's given to them. But at the same time, so coaches want to toughen them up. And I get that from one perspective. But where's the point where it goes too far? That's why I think I have a saying, a good coach is a good psychologist. A bad coach needs a sports psychologist. I think good coaches take the time to get to understand the athletes they're working with, why they're there, their goals, their strengths, their weaknesses, their fears, their stressors, things like that. But poor coaches, it's all about them and what they want. And the athletes aren't any good. They just blow them off, push them away. They don't care about them. Wouldn't get your perspective on that.
That's what I love about your work. I want to come back to the goals portion of what you were saying. I'd love to ask that coach, because my assistant director and we were having this exact conversation. He coaches high school baseball still. And he made a comment that has just stuck with me. And it fits for this. How would running half miles make you better at baseball? How does it help you bunt better or hit the ball better or make better base running decisions or field the ball better? Why not use that time to actually work on the skills that would make you better at baseball? And so
it makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that make sense? I mean,
it's amazing.
Like, and well, that's why this coach, and I've shared it with this young man's parents, because we've talked about the abusive language and behavior he has. This guy shouldn't, in my opinion, shouldn't be coaching even at the collegiate level, because he's abusive. And this young man who's the star of the team, we just spoke this morning, ironically, and they've won a few games in a row. So now he's not making them run. Okay. So he's like, Doc, I want to keep running because I know it's going to get me in shape. I don't dislike running, but 2/3 of the guys on the team don't want to run at all, but I'm running because I know it makes me better. Because he's a grounded young man and there's a difference there. But when you get this abusive behavior, when a coach is being abusive, you know, towards the athletes, it turns the athletes off to the sport, turns the athletes off to the coach, and everything falls apart. And that's where, to me, I think educating coaches, which it sounds like a lot of what you all are doing, in terms of ways to communicate, ways to teach, ways to listen. I always say, you know, good coaches listen to their athletes. And if someone's having a bad day, instead of criticizing them, talk to them, you know, what's going on? Are you having trouble? Are you having some trouble with school or things at home? Are you doing okay? No, because I just didn't do well today. Okay, well then let's work on it and practice and go from there, rather than being critical and condescending, because that's where the coach's ego comes in. And it's not about the kids, it's about the coach.
All starts at relationships. Everything you spoke to starts with relationships. And I think it would be a fun conversation. I don't know if we have time today to unpack it, but I think you would bring such a great perspective because of your background, of the difference between a majority of the work that we do, which is going to be that community-based youth sports, where we're really trying to build holistic athletes, and what happens when we get into college, which we know is just professional sports on a lower level, where the goals are different. The outcomes that we're trying to achieve are a bit different. To go back to your question, though, when it comes to mental toughness and mental abuse, for my work and my perspective and the experience that I've had is, as coaches, we have to understand that kids are not coming to us with zero. And I do think it could be a bit of a lazy take to say that kids are soft or kids don't have these skills or kids need to toughen up. When, if I would just step back, and a big piece of our training content is about this word called context. If I just step back as a coach and take in the context, what did my young athletes have to go just to get here? That one kid who shows up late to practice every day, you might find out if you just took the time to ask, as you were saying, and have that conversation, that they had to take two buses and they had to drop their sister off at home before they got there. And they haven't eaten since lunch and it's now 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And you thought kid's just being lazy. The kid doesn't care. The kid has no passion. And it's like, no, there's a lot of context that went into what's actually playing out in front
exactly.
of us. And so it's so important to understand that kids do not come to us with zero responsibility or zero resiliency, zero mental toughness skills. They come with some level and often a high level. It's just we have to help them harness that in the particular areas where they're using it, which for a lot of our communities, they're using that just to survive. They've got to do these things just to make it. And so as a coach on the sports field, I have this unique opportunity to help them learn real skills that they can develop through my sport that will not only help them get better at my sport, but will also help them harness all of those skills that they already have and get more out of them and use them better in the classroom, in the community, and at home. And so I think helping coaches understand that there are techniques, and oftentimes coaches already have those techniques, they just need to use them a bit more intentionally, a bit better, a bit more focus on them. They can help young athletes really harness the power of things that they already have access to. They just don't realize they have access to them.
I just spoke today with another college baseball player who's a sophomore at a D1 school, very, very good athlete. He's not playing very well right now, so he got benched. And, you know, we were talking about success and failure and why are you there? And he said, well, I got through youth sports and high school sports through a lot of stuff. I said, well, you survived youth sports. When you make it to the collegiate level today, you sort of survived youth sports because of all the stuff that goes on. And so to me, it's about, I think in our book, Just Let Them Play, Guiding Parents, Coaches, and Athletes Through Youth Sports, that I co-wrote with Jeff Montgomery and Peter Malone, our third chapter is entitled Embracing Failure Can Lead to Fun. And I presented this to this young man today. He goes, Doc, failure isn't fun. It's not fun at all. I said, I know, but when you learn to embrace it, accept it, understand it, because it's, let's face it, in baseball, you're in the Hall of Fame if you fail 7 times out of 10.
It's a sport of failure.
You learn to understand that rather than fight it and get angry with it, but look at what's going on, you're going to grow. And so I think it sounds like what Uptown Sports is working with young people on and these young coaches is teaching them about the attrition rate in youth sports by 12 and 13 year olds, they're dropping out in droves now, because I'm going to be 70 years old this year, Nate. And I started playing sports when I was, you know, 6, 7, kindergarten, first grade, started doing stuff. I started playing competitive tennis when I was 8. That's when I started getting into it. today you're seeing kids starting at 3 and 4. They're burned out by the time they're 8 or 9, and they're quitting by, 10, 11, 12, because they don't want to do it anymore. The fun is gone. And that's the whole thing. Sports should be fun, especially at the
Has to
youth
be.
level, even at the high school level, which where winning becomes an issue. I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but it still should be more about having fun and the enjoyment of learning about yourself, because that takes you later on in life with everything you do. And I think that the development we learn from playing youth sports can teach us so many things about life. But it sounds like what your program is about is educating and teaching and looking at the positive things this provides rather than the negative stuff.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And when I think about the conversations that you were having with this last baseball player, in sports, we have this unique thing called practice. And it's actually where we spend a majority of our time, a majority of our season is in practice. And all practice is failure, an opportunity to try things, new techniques, new skills, and learn something. And what we're seeing with our young athletes, especially from the communities that we're serving, is the fact that you cannot take risk in a majority of their world. If you take the wrong risk, it could end up costing your life. It could end up costing you something that you can't get back. And so helping them understand as a coach that this is a safe space. You are safe here. And in this space, we want you to try on things, try on new things, take some risk, try on something you've never tried before. And know that if it doesn't work, we're going to do it again. And I'm going to be right here beside you. I believe in you. We're going to keep trying these things. And these are all techniques and strategies that we help give coaches. And these are things that coaches are already good at doing. They're already natural at doing these things. We just give you a little bit more language. We give you a little bit more intentionality behind it. And when we see a young athlete find success in my sport because I took risk, well, now as a coach, now this is the hard work. This is the work that men and women like yourself and our coaches are trying to do all across this country. Now that you've experienced success here in my sport, you've tried the new skill, you've maybe tried a sport for the first time and you have succeeded, or you've tried a new position for the first time, you succeeded. Take those techniques that you learned to get better at that, the practice, the asking for help, the staying after practice, the working on yourself. Now bring that to the classroom. Now bring that into your community. This cascading can happen. And we get that from a lot of really amazing researchers. Dr. Bruce Perry wrote an entire book about this cascading effect that can happen. And when we see that, now we're talking about that lifelong work that's going to continue on. That story that you shared, Dr. Andrew, of the athlete who called you and said, thank you for doing this for, and you were like, I didn't even like, that's been so long ago. But yet the effects of that work carry on for years and years and years. And there are probably thousands of people that that athlete has touched that doesn't even know you, will never meet you, but yet your work carried on and affected many, many generations. Our coaches carry that kind of power. They carry that kind of opportunity with them.
Well, listen, I think what you're doing with UpToUS Sports is exactly why we need this program expanded and let people know about it, because people need to know about what you're doing. That you're training young coaches to teach the right things. And today sports is not like it was when I was growing up, 60 years ago. Hard for me to say that sometimes I'm that old, but it's like it's just not the same. And we have things like Safe Sport and all these organizations out there where they deal with abuse, but it still goes on. It still goes on all the time. And there's still a fear about bringing it up, about sharing it and talking about it for fear of repercussions of being, made fun of, kicked out, whatever of the team, whatever it is. So there needs to be from the youth level on up, like you're doing, a training, because a coach's role is so overwhelming with so many kids in a lot of ways. From a positive perspective, it really has such a great impact, but it can have a negative impact too. So if coaches are trained to understand language and communication and how that comes across, which it sounds like what you're doing, that has a huge impact in a positive way for a kid's development.
And real tangible skills. I love that all of our training is research backed. All of our stuff is based in science. It has real, real tangible effects, though. Give me something as a coach that I don't have to think about or study for 6 weeks or practice 100 times. I need something I can use right away. And that's what I love about our training. And you're right, youth sports isn't the same as it was when you started or when, even when I played. I'm going to be 45 this year, and that feels a little painful to say, but it isn't even the same. But I would say we have such an opportunity to make it better. I mean, just look at your podcast. There's so many people having this conversation. So many great organizations out there that are doing this hard work. So many amazing men and women like yourself, they're using their platforms to say, this is a conversation that we need to have. And we're seeing some of those effects. The 81%, I had some stats pulled up, 81% of Americans believe sports are important. Like, that is such a powerful concept that people believe in this, and there are people out there doing the work, having the right conversations, spreading this message. Now what we need to do is just help coaches know, hey, there are techniques, there are resources that I can have that will make me a better coach. And if I really start with relationships, which is where our training starts, it all starts with relationships. I can show you all the brain research. We can talk about all the great SEL techniques, and we can talk about positive coaching experiences. We can talk about ACEs. There's tons of stuff out there that we can talk about. If you don't have the relationship, there isn't any foundation to build from. And so helping coaches see that I can build really great relationships with these athletes, because if I have them for 1 year, it can make such a tremendous difference that will carry on beyond me, my relationship, and my program. And that's what we're out there doing with coaches. And so, yeah, it's amazing work. It's heavy work. I fully believe that people like ourselves that are out there, we're doing some of the hardest work in our cities. First responders are amazing, and they're doing great work. But working with young athletes and young people who need these opportunities, it's hard work. And I'm part of helping try to make that work a little bit easier.
Well, Nate, tell people how they can get a hold of you on here. Give us your email, contact information, how people can reach you. Because you know, a lot of people listen to these podcasts, and I know some people want to get a hold of you.
Thank you so much. I left it in my name just to help here, but uptousports.org is going to be our website. You can learn all about us. We actually have our sneaker ball, our 10th annual gala, coming up in New York in just a couple of weeks. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Up To Us Sports. We actually have some free trainings out there that are on our YouTube page. You can also find a lot of our details right there on our training page from our website. You can also see some free resources that we created with our partners at Adidas to help women coaches and even men coaches who are coaching girls, because we know the importance of getting more girls involved in sports, more women involved in coaching. So Up To Us Sports on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Come check us out, and you can see more information there. You can find my information underneath the training tab, but it's going to be my name, Nathan, or N. Lejeune at uptousports.org. And yeah, come check us out. We'd love to support you and your program. Or if you're just a coach looking for more information, we've got some free tools we can put in your hands.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on tonight. Hold on, because I'm going to talk when we get off the air here. This has been great. I want to stay in touch with you. Your program is needed. More people need to know about it, and you're doing a great job. And I want to thank you so much for being with us tonight.
I deeply appreciate you for allowing me.
Well, if you've enjoyed our conversation, check out my website, winnersunlimited.com. Click on the podcast tab at the top of the scroll bar. You can hear this show and close to 10 years of podcasts on there. That's winnersunlimited.com. Have a great week. Take care. I'm Sports Psych.